I want to talk very briefly about something that has become more and more apparent to me over the last few months as we live through the coronavirus pandemic. And maybe it's something that has become more and more apparent to you. It's this: the battle is in the mind. For many of us, our physical needs are being met. We have a roof over our head, we have a fridge full of food, we have a vehicle or two in the driveway, and we have money in the bank. We have access to healthcare and education, and if we need help, we can probably get it. We're not going to go without food or medicine or financial support. We have everything we need to sustain our physical lives. In fact, we have more than we need. We're so very blessed to live in this great country. There is also provision for many of our social and emotional needs. Although there are limitations at the moment, for sure, we can interact with our family and we can interact with friends. We can watch, we can listen to, we can read material that will minister to our soul. We have access to pastoral care. We have access to things that we enjoy, things that provide us with some amusement and some fun. Now, I say this not to detract from or minimize the difficulties that we're facing, but simply to make the point that much of the struggle is in our mind and in our heart. I want to share a recent experience, and maybe you can identify with it. I was lying in bed not so long ago, and I was in that space of time where you're kind of having your last thoughts for the day before you start drifting off to sleep. And I began to think about the negative things the pandemic has brought into my life, and I won't rehearse them. You know what they are. They're the same for you. And the best way I can describe it is that as I was thinking about these things, it was like a heavy fog began to descend. It was like I was beginning to be smothered by a blanket of negativity. I could feel myself being pressed down into a place of discouragement and anxiety. And I had to stop myself. I had to put the brakes on those thoughts and say to myself, hold on a minute, you're okay. You don't need to fall into that pit. By God's grace, I was able to address those thoughts. I was able to arrest the slide and drift off to sleep in peace, in a positive frame of mind. The battle for me in that moment was in my mind. Now, I was totally fine. I was lying in a comfortable bed, in a nice house, having eaten dinner and spent some time relaxing. I was healthy and safe and secure. And even more so when I consider the love and the power of my Father in heaven. You've probably found yourself in exactly the same situation many times over the last few months. You've felt the negativity out there in the world begin to close in. Perhaps you've felt yourself begin to slide into anxiety or despondency. If you're a Christian, God has given you the wherewithal to stay out of that awful pit. He has given you the wherewithal to stop the slide into that place of discouragement. He has given you the wherewithal to win the battle that takes place in your mind every day of the week. Now, this is a big subject worthy of a lengthy study. And of course, in a short devotional talk like this, I can't cover everything the Bible has to say, nor can I address matters of mental health that cause some to have an especially difficult struggle with their thought life. But that doesn't take away from the wonderful truth that I want to direct your attention to. This is something for all of us to take hold of, whatever our particular circumstances might be. Let's consider just one verse in the New Testament, a verse you probably know. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, which says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." But here the Apostle Paul mentions a particular kind of fear. He uses the Greek word that refers to cowardice or to being timid. It's not the common word for fear that we find in the New Testament. In context, he was addressing the young pastor Timothy, who seems to have been timid when it came to exercising his ministry. And as a youngish pastor, I know what that's like. Now, Timothy did not have to be fearful in this sense. He could do the things that God had called him to do because God had given him the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, this is a reference to the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit that was present at creation lived in Timothy. And he was and he is a spirit who empowers, a spirit who produces love, and a spirit who enables men and women to have a sound mind. And that's what I want to focus on. Now, the Greek word translated sound mind only occurs here in the New Testament. And it means to have self-control, but with particular reference to the mind. Now, we normally think of having self-control in terms of having control over our impulses, our appetites and our emotions, or having control over our speech or our actions. And this is included in this word. But again, it's the mind that's primarily in view. Self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the word temperance is used in the King James Version in that famous catalogue of fruit in Galatians chapter 5. Well, here it is again in 2 Timothy chapter 1, a variety of this fruit. Now, when you go to the supermarket to buy some apples, you can normally choose from Pink Lady, Royal Gala, or Granny Smith. It's the same fruit, but with some differences. In a sense, that's what we have here. We have a variety of the fruit of self-control. The Holy Spirit enables Christians to have the mastery over their minds. One author calls this the sanity of saintliness. Another describes it this way. Paul has in mind a measure of control over one's thinking and actions that allows a balanced outlook on any situation. When everything is coming unglued, this quality of level-headedness will keep the Christian focused calmly on the power and love the Spirit provides, and so it makes perseverance in life and ministry possible. Now, I like that word, level-headedness. Now, by enabling us to have the mastery over our thoughts, we can be level-headed, we can be calm within ourselves and reasonable in our outlook and in our responses. Because we have the Spirit, we do not have to be carried along by our thoughts. We do not have to be subject to them. Rather, with the Spirit's help, our thoughts are made subject to us, to our will, and ultimately to the Lord Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, we have this power within us because we have this person within us, God Himself, the wonderful, powerful Holy Spirit. He will produce this fruit. He will give us this self-control. He will help us stop the slide into despondency. He will help us win the battle as we depend upon Him. And that means taking hold of the means that He has ordained, the Word of God and prayer and fellowship. Now, it's not an easy season of life. And I have struggled like many of you have. I have fallen down into that pit and spent way too much time there. But I have also experienced some victories. And so can you. Next time you feel yourself sinking down beneath the weight of negative thoughts and negative emotions, whether it's because of the pandemic or because of some other set of circumstances, catch yourself, stop yourself, and pray to the Lord. Ask for the Spirit's help to meet those thoughts with truth. And then start to think on those things that are true and just and pure and lovely. And by God's grace, you will win the battle. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hang in there, and may God bless you. Amen.